everybody. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And you're listening to A Date with Dateline. Just a couple quick announcements before we get started.
Beep, 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 beep.
The live stream for Patreon and Supercast will be this Sunday, so tune in.
Yeah.
Don't know what we're doing, but I'll know by then, and that's all that matters.
Don't miss it. Don't be left out.
Don't miss it. I'm going to pick a crazy true crime case, maybe a 2020. I haven't decided.
We're going to do the Menendez brothers. Get ready. Let's discuss.
Oh, no. I can't. Katie might be talking about Menendez with Jake.
We're going to do Pam Smart followed by the Menendez brothers.
No.
That's it.
You know what? You should talk with Rebecca Lavoie about Pam Smart. She has a lot of thoughts.
We have talked.
And they might be very similar to you. Oh, you have?
We spoke last time I talked to her without you about Pam Smart. And
good.
I think her and I might be in agreement on some points. So
yeah, I think so.
Curious.
Come to CrimeCon. Use our code DATE. It'll be really, really fun. Most important announcement, though, there's a new cam animation. Or canimation.
Camimation.
Camimation on social media. It's a Katie special moment.
Yeah.
It's wonderful because he's a genius. You can find it on our social media or go to our website, A Date with Dateline. August has kindly put up all of Camimation's.
Camimation's.
And some great listener artwork and some just the most talented listeners in the world.
Really nice things.
Way more talented than us. They should be hosting this podcast.
For real. Thank you so much, Cam, for this one. It's delightful.
Amazing. And I know you have a lot of requests because every time he posts one, the requests come in. Can you do this one? Can you do this moment?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. People have their favorite moments. And it's usually us being really dumb.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But this one wasn't. It was you being very funny.
But not this episode.
No, this one we're going to be really smart.
I can't think of anything that is dumb that I had big question marks in this one besides the overarching question of him.
Absolutely. But I actually have an answer for him.
Oh, okay.
That got answered by Dateline producer in one of our tweets.
Can't wait. All right, let's get into it. I can't wait.
This episode is called The Killer on Camera 4. It is season 32, episode 31. It aired on March 8th, 2024. Hosted by Dennis, which means this is a two-peat Dennisode.
Beep, 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 beep.
And actually, from the preview, it looks like next Friday is a Dennisode as well.
Okay, now I don't like this.
This is a three-peat Dennisode. Thrice. I have asked you thrice to give me Dennisodes, Dateline, and you have done it.
But this is not because Dennis is leaving us anytime soon, right?
No, absolutely. No, never.
Thank God. Okay.
Of course, I have no idea. I acted like I had the inside scoop there. I do not.
Well, why didn't you just say you did? And then I would feel better.
I assure people. Yeah, I've talked to Susan Nall, and she says Dennis is going nowhere.
Thank God. Except to maybe my house for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Great.
We start with a bagpiper playing Amazing Grace in a cemetery. So Katie just started crying immediately.
Can't do the pipers.
She cannot do the pipers.
We cannot do the pipers. And I have a very funny story about a piper, which we have time for at the end. I will relay that story.
Oh, I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
But the weird part about this is we're not actually at a funeral. Dateline seems to have hired a piper to pipe at a cemetery with no one around. This is the closest thing we have ever gotten to a reenactment on Dateline. Because they're trying to like set the scene of a funeral. Later, we get actual footage of a ceremony, of a funeral.
With a different piper.
With a different piper. This is a Dateline hired piper so they can do close-up shots and film the whole thing.
Stock footage.
I doubt it.
I think they may have had this.
You think so? We'll reach out and find out.
Because they don't hire anyone.
They would hire...
A piper?
No, that's true. They don't pay for interviews. But this episode was very, very strangely filmed. It was very cinematic. There's lots of wide angle, almost fisheye lens shots. And there's lots...
Do you know why?
No.
I would say 80% of the episode, the B-roll, is shot how a surveillance camera would be set up in a home. It's shot as surveillance cam.
So you think it was a subtle nod to that?
Correct. The whole time.
But what about the strange shots of people sitting in dark, shadowy rooms like they were being interviewed in a police precinct on SVU?
It's the first time we've done B-roll first. It's also the first time we don't have somebody with something in their hands multiple times. We have people just sitting.
No looking out at water.
Hands on their knees.
Yeah, hands on knees. No holding a Folgers cup of coffee. staring out at nothing.
I'm not. They're trying something new and I'm not.
They are.
Let's try it. Let's try it.
Yeah, I would say there were a couple people who weren't thrilled on Twitter, but I think that's just we resist change and we like what is comforting to us. And maybe in a few months, we'll be totally used to this.
I don't know if I would be able to deal with the surveillance camera shots all the time because I do like sort of being able to see people's faces clearly.
Yeah.
It feels a little intrusive in a bad way when it keeps going.
It does. It feels like you're spying in someone's house.
Yeah, it did feel like that. But
yeah,
I think it was also trying to evoke that feeling. So there we go.
Yeah. If you're new to this podcast, we do B-roll bonanza at the very end. I don't know why we're doing it at the beginning, but surprise.
Because it was striking. It was striking in this episode.
So striking. Okay. So we have a bagpiper at a cemetery because a firefighter has been murdered in 2017 in Baltimore, Maryland. Police go to do a welfare check on 31-year-old John Hickey, not to be confused with
John Hinckley.
I wonder if John's mother wondered about that when she named him.
No, John is just a name. John is like the most popular name ever.
No, I know. But my parents never said my whole name together, which is why we wound up with
Kimberly Lee.
Kimberly Lee. Because they didn't ever say it together. It had to be legally changed.
And what's his name? Andrew Andrewson. What was that guy?
Carl Carlson.
Carl Carlson.
Yeah.
That's how we end up with things like that.
Murderer.
Although that feels intentional.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. But this is John Hickey.
Correct.
And the welfare check was called by Jennifer McKay, John's girlfriend. Police come and they find John dead. He was apparently a great guy. He was a volunteer firefighter. He was a mechanic. He was a photographer. And he had been shot in his apartment in the head while he was sleeping on the couch. We right away meet our detectives, Ryan O'Connor and Val Vaughn. Now, we so rarely get homicide detectives on Dateline that aren't men, especially white men. I was tickled to have Val Vaughn. Vivi.
Vivi, who's the MVP.
Vivi is the MVP. I love her.
And she is with us the entire episode. When she first came on, I was like, okay, it feels like she might be here for a while. Because sometimes the initial detectives go very quickly away and are replaced by the prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
Not this time.
Nope, they kept Vivi around.
Yeah.
John was the same age as her son, so she calls him Kid. He was a kid, and I thought that was so cute. And then she has to go tell John's mom, who is lovely, and we're meeting her, and we're also meeting John's uncle, who has this very distinctive beard that is the shape and texture of a dust broom brush.
Trapezoid.
Well, yeah, kind of a trapezoid.
Beardazoid.
Yeah, beardazoid. They both seem like great people.
And he's also Uncle John.
Uncle John.
John is named for his mom's brother.
Dennis warns us that we're about to hear about some secrets. And I got excited because I keep seeing commercials for Secrets Resort lately, which I have not seen for several years, but they're back on TV. Again, they are implying that the husband and wife are actually having an affair and the resort staff is looking the other way. Their tagline might as well be, "Want a bone? Tell your wife you're at a work conference. We won't tell."
It does sound like it's trying to be the Ashley Madison of all-inclusive vacations.
Exactly.
If you were meeting the person that you were talking to on Ashley Madison, you would go to Secrets.
Sponsored by Secrets.
And it shows up on your credit card bill as something else.
Yes.
Like it doesn't show up as Secrets. It shows up as
gift for your wife.
Business conference Puerto Vallarta.
For spec script. Police bring in Jennifer, the girlfriend, to the interrogation room that Dennis is sitting in with the detectives, which is another almost reenactment because we almost never get the host in the interrogation room, except we had Mank recently where he was in the interrogation room and he looked up at the camera and then they did a zoom out and we saw all the monitors that had him on it. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was cool.
Jennifer and John had been dating for 6 weeks. They were exclusive. His mom liked her. And Dennis sits down at the firehouse with John's uncle and all the firehouse buddies. And they said John was in love with Jennifer. And these firemen are so great. One of them has a powerful handlebar mustache.
Yeah.
They're great. And Dennis is loving being with the bros at the firehouse.
I think Dennis is in hog heaven this episode because
he's never been more happy.
He loves the detectives. You can tell he really, really likes the detectives. They're interacting with him really well and very animated. And then also the firefighters are also giving him that same like Dennis energy right back, which makes me really happy when Dennis gets Dennis'd back.
Yes.
That's good. We need that exchange. Also, by the way, John's mom's name is Kim.
Oh, she's great.
Just in case. Your name is also that. It's close to that.
It's close to that. John was going to go to the academy and actually not be a volunteer fireman anymore. He was going to become a full-time firefighter. Very brave. The person who killed him while he was sleeping, I'm going to dare to say, not brave.
The most cowardly way.
Absolutely.
He's just on his couch, falls asleep, watching TV, and he gets shot in the head. It's horrendous.
Now, Jennifer tells detectives that in the past few weeks, John had been getting harassing phone calls saying, your girlfriend Jennifer is bad news. She'll ruin your life. And it's from a spoofed number. So harassment. And then, Katie, you might want to turn off your microphone, except you already saw the episode. His dog died. Why, Dateline? Why do you keep doing this? It was a border collie named Chance. And I was like, don't tell me his name. I can't get more attached. Don't tell me he was deaf like the last dog, because I will actually die.
Never again with that. Also, then don't go on to describe how great he was and what a good
boy. Just say he was a jerk dog. He was a suck truck of a dog. He peed where he wasn't supposed to, and he bit people, and he was nasty.
Mm-hmm.
The firemen thought that John's dog had been poisoned. And this is just so terrible. And the only thing that's saving me is Dennis, because the firemen are saying, oh, John loved that dog and it was the most beautiful dog. And Dennis says, he just came home and found the dog dead. Dennis, so blunt, and it kills me.
Yes.
At one point, Dennis is talking to the firemen and they're talking about how sad John's death was. And Dennis goes, he was just sleeping and got a bullet between the eyes.
He has a few of those moments in this episode.
He's in a detective novel.
Yeah.
But no one seems to mind because he's so folksy and his blue eyes are so twinkly that they're not offended.
It's not offensive. It's what happened. And he's just stating the facts, ma'am.
Stating the facts. Just the facts, ma'am. Then the third thing that happens, so that you have phone call, the thing that I'm not going to mention. And then John is staying at his girlfriend Jennifer's house for the weekend when the brakes on his car are cut. Thank God he was fine. He's a mechanic. He figured it out. Dennis says the detectives have to figure out if these events are connected to his murder. Dennis, let me tell you my thoughts on coincidences.
No. Okay, go ahead.
They don't exist.
There we have it.
Detectives find a neighbor's camera pointing right at John's back door where they think the person got in. Detectives say it was picture perfect that the camera was there. And Dennis says a TV director himself would have put it there. I don't know what he means, but I loved it.
That's exactly what he means. He means he's just reiterating what they say in a better way.
Yeah, he punches up whatever anybody says. He's a punch-up writer.
Yeah, he's a punch-up guy.
Punch-up guys in Hollywood get paid a lot of money, by the way.
Dennis?
They add like 4 jokes to a script and they get paid 30 grand.
What?
Yeah. So they send the video off for processing. It's good they have video because they don't have any witnesses. They don't have any fingerprints or DNA at the crime scene. And Dennis says to the detectives, cancel your vacation.
Yep.
I can't. How many good lines is he going to have in this one episode?
A lot. You missed one already. He says, so it's a straight line to dead on the couch.
Oh, Dennis.
Yeah.
He's cracking me up. And I know this is a very serious thing and it's so sad. But Dennis is so delightful.
He really is. He's a national treasure.
So they think it's a staged robbery. Mark that off your bingo cards.
Yeah.
Detectives find something so strange in John's apartment, a passport belonging to someone named Brandon that no one seems to know. Jennifer doesn't know who Brandon is. John's family does not know who this Brandon person is, but his passport's in the house. They track down Brandon. He says, I had no idea where my passport was because I've been in a coma for a year.
Does this get explained? I have no memory right now of what happens with the passport.
It doesn't. Great question. There are some theories.
Oh.
I laughed when he said, I have been in a coma.
Yeah, I did too.
Because even though people are in comas every day and it's so serious, the way it was explained made it sound like a soap opera where they just put someone randomly in a coma.
Right.
While their evil twin is out there killing people.
And assuming their identity.
Exactly.
It feels like in this case, it's like, well, I had really bad amnesia when I came out.
Right.
It's on that level.
I got hit in the head with a frying pan.
Right.
And then I couldn't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Like happened on Brady Bunch once.
Oh, yeah.
No. Saved by the Bell, probably. He actually was in a coma, Brandon. He broke his entire body, literally, during a motorcycle accident. He died 3 times. At the scene. So he really does have no memory of where his passport was.
Oh, yeah.
If he knew John, he has no clue. This is just so bizarre.
This is bizarre.
Jennifer, like I said, does not know Brandon. She does tell police about Daniel Green, someone she has known since she was a kid, like a family friend, just a friend. Daniel was a firefighter also, and he is married to another Jennifer, Jen, with kind of Kate Gosselin hair. It's hard to know who to call Jen 1 and Jen 2 in this situation. So I will be saying...
Did you go with last names? Jen McKay.
I will be saying short hair Jen, long hair Jen.
I did McKay because they say her last name a bunch. I think that's where they're trying to go with it. At some point, they are both Jen.
I know.
Oh my God. Let's try with the short hair and the long hair. Well, one of them is Jennifer Green.
Yeah. She goes by Jen though.
Jen Green.
Yeah.
Jen McKay. We can try.
Jen Green is the wife. Jennifer McKay is John's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Jen Green and Daniel had a perfect family until 2009. Yeah, I heard it. When Daniel inhales some hazardous gas in a fire and it damaged his lungs, which is so scary. And he had to medically retire. And after that, he didn't really know what to do with himself and he changed. He became very distant. And he and Jen Green were not having sex. And Jen Green explains to Dennis, men don't just turn it down. And Dennis gives a little chuckle because no one's ever turned down Dennis.
Wait, how long have they been married at that point?
I think several years. They already had a baby.
How old were all these people?
They're in their late 20s, early 30s.
Okay. All right.
Jen thought that he was cheating and she found proof.
Oh boy.
Thousands of text messages to his mistress, which I was reminded when she said that of Bonnie with the slick back bun from Collision, who told Andrea Canning she does not like to be called a mistress.
That's true.
And Andrea Canning told her, that's what you are, though.
Oh yeah. Andrea was having none of it, Bonnie.
I know you are, but what am I, Bonnie? I'm not a mistress.
They're going to have a white jeans off. Who wore it better?
She finds these thousands of phone calls and text messages. She calls the woman and she knows who the woman is. It's Jennifer McKay, Daniel's longtime childhood friend. They're not just friends anymore.
No.
Dennis says affairs of the heart can be messy and Cupid's arrow can be deadly.
That's good, Dennis.
You know where that quote is going? That's going on my Dateline host's quote spreadsheet.
Good.
Which I have not opened in a long time, but this one made me open it up again.
Yeah, because it's great.
And I much preferred it to Keith's quote about Cupid's arrow, where she shot her own arrow to try to find a man.
No, we're just not smart enough to understand.
Maybe that's
Keith's
true.
Keith's analogy.
Cupid's sparrow.
Cupid's sparrow. And then there was something, was it about the quiver? Pulled an arrow from their quiver. I feel like quiver was in the quote as well, and it threw the whole thing off.
Quiver might have been in there. Then Dennis says, he just hits you with quotes back to back. Firefighters subscribe to the adage, where there's smoke, there's fire. And I was like, doesn't everyone subscribe to that adage?
But no, he has the second part of it, right?
And then he says, homicide detectives have one too. Where there's murder, there's often infidelity.
Oh, that's good.
That's going on the list too.
Good.
By the way, if you listen to our old episodes, message me when you hear a good quote, because I have not added to that quotes thing in a very long time. And eventually there will be something fun with it. I have several projects in mind.
Like what, a quilt? What are you doing?
A quilt? Yes, a quotes quilt. That's amazing. We're going to have a quilt-a-thon and we're going to all do a square with a different quote from a Dateline host. And then I'm not going to give it away. I'm going to keep it.
I feel like we might have some quilters in the bunch here.
We definitely do. We have the craftiest.
Yeah, we do have some crafty folks.
Daniel promised Jen Green that he would end the affair. He gets a new job that he has to travel for, but the smoldering embers of an illicit affair can be hard to extinguish.
Oh boy.
Good job, Dennis. Also, Illicit Affairs, one of Taylor's best songs on Folklore.
Also, probably a movie on Cinemax.
Yeah. Stick with Taylor's song. Daniel starts ignoring the family. He even leaves a family vacation at Disney World early. What a suck truck.
Stop trying to make that work. I told you I didn't like it.
It is working.
Mm-hmm.
It already has blossomed. Our listeners have already started using it in their vernacular. One person.
It sounds incredibly derogatory. That's all I'm going to say.
Dennis asks Jen Green, short hair, why didn't you give Daniel his marching orders? Hello, 1-800-DIVORCE, you're done.
Dennis, you're batting 1,000 here.
1,020%.
Fantastic.
If you're sick of your current cell phone plan, it might be time to call 1-800-DIVORCE and divorce them and leave them for Mint Mobile. But you probably won't be able to get through when you call 1-800-DIVORCE because your current plan sucks.
I think the line's going to be perpetually on hold.
Yes.
And after years of fine print contracts and getting fully ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
So when I heard that Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, I thought, okay, where's the catch in that? That's bananas. But after talking to them, it makes complete sense. There isn't one. There is no catch here. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you and your wallet. And the best part about it is that the quality of their wireless service is just like those people that you're on hold with for 45 minutes. It's the same service. Oliver's switch was so fast, so seamless. There's been no dropped calls. There's been no, all of a sudden, I'm in an area where I can't get wireless service. Nothing. He has great data and he is paying, I think at this point, 50% less than he was paying before.
That's crazy.
It's that good. Mint Mobile is here to rescue us with premium wireless plans for just $15 a month. So say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and those crazy unexpected overages. Those are the worst. When it's like all of a sudden my bill is $20 higher and then they're like, oh, well, this tax went through. What?
You got undercoding.
Yeah, it's an imaginary undercoding on your data plan, brother. And all Mint plans come with unlimited talk, text, and high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can also use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan, so bring your phone number along with all of your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get premium wireless service for just $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/date-dateline. That's mintmobile.com/date-dateline. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/date-dateline. Don't look back. Say goodbye to the overpriced wireless providers. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabyte on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. And join us at the minty freshness of Mint Mobile. We have fresh phone plans. What's going on with you?
Fresh.
Thank you so much, Mint.
Katie, what does everyone do when they're shopping online? They jump to the reviews to see what customers actually think.
True.
Like if you were to go to our Apple reviews, you might read 220-ish girls. Thank you.
Correct.
Discuss the real Dateline episodes with immaturity and silly chatter. And you might think, I have to check out this podcast. Well, Bowl and Branch's reviews are incredible, though. In a recent customer survey, 96% said that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. The sheets are made from the rarest 100% organic cotton in a buttery and breathable weave that gets softer over time. Most bedding, did you know, is made from harsh chemicals like formaldehyde, synthetic pesticides, and toxic dyes. Yes, your bedding is more toxic than Jen and Daniel's marriage. Much like Jen, you deserve better.
Yeah.
You can feel the difference with Bowl and Branch's 30-night worry-free guarantee. You can wash and sleep in them for a month. And if you don't love them, you can send them back. And I'm sure Jen wishes she had that option.
Oh, yeah.
Sleep better at night with the softest sheets from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your first order when you use promo code DATEDATELINE at bowlandbranch.com. That's B-O-L-L and BRANCH.com. Promo code DATE DATELINE. Exclusions apply. See site for details. Find out why we're obsessed with Bowl and Branch.
I am bowled over and so happy I branched out into some new beautiful sheets for my bed.
I'm going to go out on a branch and say that these are the best sheets ever.
No, straight up, they are. They're the best. Check them out if you haven't already. Find out what the buzz is about.
The Buzz at Bowling Branch.
The Buzz at Bowling Branch.
Thank you, Bowling Branch.
Thank you, Bowling Branch.
So Jen stays with Daniel, and this affair with Jennifer continues for a long time. But then one day around Thanksgiving, Daniel tells Jen that he's taking her daughter, that's from a previous relationship, to a friend's house to watch a football game. And that night, Jen asks the daughter, "Did you have fun watching the game?" And she says, "Oh no, we went to Daddy's friend Jennifer's house for her family's Thanksgiving dinner."
Nope. No.
He took Jen's daughter to his mistress's family Thanksgiving dinner.
I was so shocked by this until we find out in a few minutes what's going on. I had a lot of questions. He is a despicable person.
Yeah. So Daniel becomes even worse when she calls him out on it. He accuses the daughter of lying.
Wow, you are a piece of work.
I can't.
Sir, this is really bad.
Short hair Jen drives over to confront longer hair Jennifer and says, "What are you doing with my husband?" You know, she's like, "Did my daughter come over to your house?" And Jennifer says, "Well, yeah, they came over for Thanksgiving dinner because it was Daniel's custody weekend."
My jaw dropped.
Short hair Jen was like, "I'm sorry, what'd you say? We're still married." And long hair Jennifer says, "Come inside."
Yeah.
And Dennis says, "Sister, we've got to talk."
Yeah, I love Dennis at this moment. But also, this is when I thought they were going to plot revenge.
His murder together. Yeah.
And he is not the one that dies.
That's a comedy, right?
Yeah.
They go in and they discuss for a head spinning 15 minutes, which does not seem like a long enough time.
No, I would be there for minimum 2 hours.
I want a diagram on a whiteboard of all the lies to like track it all down.
Deception tracker.
Yes. When did he say he was here? Pull out your calendar.
Excel spreadsheet.
Yes. I want to know everything.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out Jennifer is maybe not as bad as we thought because...
Girlfriend Jennifer.
Because she had been told by Daniel that he was divorced. He even made fake divorce papers.
So you can't even be mad at her for that, for being like, "Well, he would just say that. She did ask to see divorce papers."
And he gave them to her. He made fake divorce papers. Maybe at a Kinko's FedEx... Sometimes it was called FedEx Kinko's.
Kimberly, you can just print them off the internet.
But he, I feel like, did cut and paste, made some sort of like seal and the state logo. I feel like he could have gotten really into it.
Or if she hasn't been married and divorced, she wouldn't really know what she's looking at.
That is very true. Jen Squared only talks for 15 minutes. Doesn't feel like long enough. And wife Jen tells girlfriend Jen, "Stay away from my husband."
Mm-hmm.
And Jen gets home and she's expecting Daniel to apologize to her.
Wife Jen is about to confront Daniel.
Yeah, she goes home to talk to him and he doesn't say a word. He gets in his car and drives to girlfriend Jennifer's house to salvage that relationship.
Bye.
Wife Jen, please. This is a slap in the face.
Change the locks. Move to Portland.
Burn his car. I'm sorry. I don't approve of larcenies.
No, don't burn his car. But like, put his stuff in bags and be like,
yeah,
okay, I have to move on.
Yeah. Pull an Angela Bassett.
You've clearly made your choice.
Wife Jen tells Daniel, "You can leave this marriage." And he says, "No, I'll stay." But then he spends several days at a time at girlfriend Jennifer's house. So I have to give both Jens the business here. I know there are a lot of reasons why wives stay in not good marriages. There's financial reasons. She says they were also very religious, so she wanted to make the marriage work.
She said that was her main reason.
And she was also financially very dependent on him. I get it. But you do have a daughter that is witnessing this behavior, and I think you probably don't want to see you being disrespected like that. But she does put him in the basement. She makes him basement husband, and he has to sleep on a couch in the basement, which is the bare minimum that he deserves.
Good.
But it's something. And then I have a bone to pick with girlfriend Jennifer, who now stayed with him after finding out that he was not divorced and had in fact created fake divorce papers to trick you. Does he have a magic D?
No, here's the deal. We are not getting Jennifer McKay's interview. We are not getting girlfriend Jennifer's interview. I don't think that's actually what was happening, to be honest.
What do you think was happening?
Well, first of all, they've been friends for a very long time, right? Mm-hmm. So if he comes and says, okay, I got found out. I'm sorry I did this to you, but I have officially left her. I am leaving her now. I'm sleeping in the basement. We're not even sharing space. He could manipulate this so that it would actually look like he's not in both relationships still. He could do that pretty easily right now.
Yeah.
And she might be apt to believe him because he was just caught. He wouldn't dare lie again. I've known him forever. He would not dare lie again. And then he does. And she just doesn't see it coming, right?
What he did was so sociopathic.
Right. But she's known him forever. It's like you kind of can't get your head around it. So then what I'm also thinking is, I think this time he's trying to win her back. I don't know if it's actually working. I think when he's saying he's spending days at a time over there.
Yeah, he's constantly trying to win her back.
That's what wife Jennifer is telling us. Not girlfriend Jennifer. And we do find out that he's got this weird no man's land place coming. And that's where I think he's actually going.
That's true. That is true. Bottom line, Jen squared, raise your standards. Yeah. And I think we need a Mank ladies be your own Prince Charming. Eventually, we are told that girlfriend Jennifer breaks up with him. And this was just 3 months before the murder. Detectives say she was sick of being the second fiddle. I kind of think she was the first fiddle.
I really want to hear from girlfriend Jennifer. I feel like there is some stuff left out here that is very important, and I want to know.
Yeah, that's possible. So she starts dating John, but she kept in close contact with Daniel. She says, I was telling him about John because I wanted Daniel to move on and leave me alone. That's one possibility. Somebody else on Twitter thought maybe she was trying to get Daniel to fully leave his wife by saying she had this new guy.
No, I think she was ready to be done.
I'm willing to believe.
And I think he kept showing up.
She was done.
Yeah.
And he was obsessed over her. She doesn't think, though, that he would kill John. She tells police he wouldn't do something that extreme because he has kids. Because people with kids are never on Dateline.
She's maybe not a Dateline person.
Then they get the neighborhood footage. And it's very clear. Forget the grainy, is that a person, is that a horse security footage that we usually get. It's surprisingly clear.
Wow.
And they see on it a bundled up man pacing behind John's apartment. Detectives say it seems like he's getting up the courage to do it. And Dennis says that's the thought balloon inside his head.
That's it.
Yes, that's the thought balloon. He's punching up. So the man tests several windows. He opens one and he climbs in. And then after a little bit, he leaves the apartment through a door and you can see that he's carrying a gun. Sometimes he's pulling up his jacket over his mouth to try to cover his face. And at some points, he just leaves his face completely exposed. And at one point, even gives a Jim Halpert look directly at the security camera.
Does he think it doesn't work?
Maybe it's so dark that he can't see that that's a camera.
But the camera has night vision on it.
Yeah. So would there be like a little light shining?
That was meant to be a question and I didn't ask it, state it like a question. The camera has night vision because it's black where he is, right? There's no lights outside.
Yeah.
So he can't see it.
No, it's night vision. That's what I think. He looks like a raccoon that you would catch on your backyard security footage.
I think if he had any idea there was a camera there, he would have been much more covered up in the face.
Yeah, he could have maybe checked that out ahead of time during the daytime if there was a camera.
Maybe.
Pro tip. So they show the footage to girlfriend Jennifer and she says, yeah, that looks like Daniel. And Dennis says to the detectives, your past maybe shoulda. And I said, huh? And then Vivi, our wonderful detective, speaks Dennis and she says, oh, yeah, we're way past woulda, coulda, shoulda. I don't think either of them meant that expression because nothing in this is like you regret something.
Right.
But it's fine.
I think it's like we need a definite here. We can't have a maybe. And I was worried about this when they showed it. I was like, oh, don't do that. Don't do that. I know one thing needs to happen and she needs to make an identification very clearly on her own.
Yeah.
And they are kind of like, we really can't have that. It's got to be 100%. Like, they're not saying it's got to be 100%, but they're saying you need to be sure.
Yeah.
And if I was girlfriend Jennifer at this point, I would feel like I would either need to say yes or no. Right. Not maybe.
And that comes...
And she's kind of a maybe.
In later. Also, woulda, coulda, shoulda, another devastating Taylor Swift song. Screw you, John Mayer.
What is going on with you?
So they arrest Daniel based on girlfriend Jennifer's ID. And it only took Vivi about a week to do this. And that other detective that we've totally forgotten about.
O'Connor.
Yeah. Good for him. This all happens before John's funeral. Girlfriend Jennifer sits at the back because she feels too guilty to go near John's mom. And yeah. John's mom kindly invites her to sit in the front because she tells Jennifer, this wasn't your fault. You didn't do it. You didn't put the gun in his hand. And I thought that was very kind.
Kim is a big person.
Yes. We've seen way more petty people on Dateline. And we've been fine with that too. However you feel is fine. Detectives have a little bit more than just the ID. They have the suspect driving up to John's house in a black pickup truck that looks like one that Daniel drives. Daniel also shut off his phone that night, which is something he never did. And the last place it pinged before the murder is nowhere near his house, but it's at a vacant property. So they go to the vacant property and they find out, well, the guy who owns the vacant property goes to check out his property and discovers that someone has been living there.
A rat.
Daniel.
A big rat.
A frog. It is
oh, yeah.
someone who is fully squatting. They have put country crock and milk in the fridge. There is a firefighter uniform hanging in the closet. There are photos of girlfriend Jennifer on the fridge with a magnet that says the little things with a heart.
Nope. I did not see that. I don't like that.
There's mail addressed to Daniel Green, like bills, like he's getting bills. He also has at this place a cat. And I was like, keep this man away from animals.
No, no cat.
I haven't forgotten about Chance.
Yeah.
I was really excited that there was kind of a Frogger Dateline crossover, but he really is a squatter. Because I think a Frogger is when they're living in your house that you are also living in. But I was still excited.
Yeah.
And Dateline thinks that he was living there sometimes to convince girlfriend Jennifer that he had really gotten a divorce this time so that she'd get back together with him. Dan tells detectives he did not kill John. And he says he was happy that Jennifer had moved on. And he wasn't in love with her. And if she wanted him back, he would say no.
Okay.
Sure, Dan. Vivi is not buying it for a second, and you cannot pull one over on Detective Vivi.
Mm-mm.
Jennifer has also shown the detectives these obsessive emails that Dan had been sending her.
Mm-hmm.
So they know that he wasn't over her. Vivi says to Daniel, in case you haven't figured it out, in 2017, everyone has video.
Ooh.
And he starts to be so condescending to her, like, well, it sounds like you have your mind made up. And she says, the facts have made their mind up. It's called evidence. And he says, well, you may think you have evidence, but I don't think that you have all the evidence.
Oh, my God. Okay, so Daniel only watches police procedural shows and doesn't actually watch any true crime. He
right.
doesn't watch Dateline. He doesn't watch 48 Hours. He doesn't watch anything with actual interrogations in it. He watches CSI.
Yeah, that's valid. Daniel says, a week before the murder, convenient, he suddenly realizes, after years of being a rat fink mm-hmm. to his wife, he suddenly should appreciate her, and she's great.
No.
And he should try to sleep in her bed with her.
Barf.
And he should start thinking about her feelings.
Nope.
And so the week of the murder, he goes back to bed with her and is the best husband ever. It's so convenient that he starts sleeping with her the week of the murder. Also, Jen, keep him in the basement next time. He deserves to be below ground, like a hobbit hole person.
Mole person.
A mole purse. That's where I was going.
He's the worst.
He's horrible.
He's really, really bad.
Yeah. Daniel's parents, however, they believe their son. Shocker.
Oh.
He's a firefighter.
I know.
He wouldn't do this.
Okay.
Dennis shows them the video of the man breaking into the house. And they think that man is not our son. That man's nose has been broken once, maybe twice. If both of these parents are not ENTs, then I need them to stop analyzing someone's nose on security footage. Also, the video is not that clear that you could tell that. There's a hairline fracture that is no. And then they go, well, his beard is less patchy.
Oh, my God.
And this beard has a little bit of bald spot here. So they have a forensic lab enhance the video and they send it to the police, but the police don't respond. And they think the police just don't want to be wrong. That's the same. That's you guys also do not want to be wrong, but okay.
It's also the body language. It's the body movements.
It's everything.
Yeah,
yes.
It's not just his face.
Yes. So the defense trial lawyer says they didn't test the palm print on the window to see if it matched. Detective Vivi says, well, they didn't test it because the man on the video was wearing gloves. So that's not the man who broke in handprint. They say they didn't look hard enough at the guy in the coma. Poor Brandon is like, I cheated death. Can I just live? Let me live.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, leave Brandon completely out of this.
I was in a coma. I would like to be excluded from this narrative. And Vivi points out that he looks nothing like the man in the video.
There we go.
So they knew that it wasn't him. Daniel doesn't own a black truck. However, he did often drive one that he borrowed from his neighbor. Now, this neighbor, he says Daniel didn't borrow the truck that night because when he would come in to get the keys, the dog would bark, and the dog didn't bark that night. So, a couple things.
Is the dog still alive?
Please tell me the dog has not been poisoned. But the main point I have, the main issue I have here, is that he very clearly says the police never came and spoke to him or interviewed him. So he likely found out about the murder over a week after when Daniel was arrested. Because he doesn't know John. He would never hear that John was murdered.
Right.
So he remembers over a week later that his dog did not bark a week earlier.
Hmm.
Okay.
It would be a stretch.
Did something happen that night that would make you remember that the dog didn't bark?
Right.
No, because you don't really remember things that don't happen. Usually remember things that do happen.
It was my birthday, and I remember being right. So happy that the dog did not bark that night, because he always barks.
Right, exactly.
No.
No. Also, maybe the dog was outside in the backyard or something. You don't know.
What time was this at night?
Yeah, he could have snuck in and gotten the keys at any time. Okay.
So your neighbor comes and grabs your keys and takes your truck?
He just has a row of keys lined up by the door and just like neighbors can come. I don't know. He seems like a very generous neighbor, but I disagree with his providing an alibi here. Doesn't seem safe. Yeah, it really doesn't seem safe.
I don't know what's going on here.
This is what we need Serial 2 to be about. In Baltimore, is what's going on with this neighbor and his loaning out cars situation.
That is, wow.
The defense attorney says that during the affair between Daniel and girlfriend Jennifer, she was dating lots of other guys. And Daniel didn't kill any of them. So why would he kill now? Maybe because he was getting some from Jennifer. So she was obviously like not breaking up with him. Maybe she told him this guy John is the one. I am done with you for real this time. Maybe she has a magical Clovis and she was finally cutting him off. There are several reasons it could be.
I think it's number two.
Thank you.
I think that she really did see something
special.
I sort of believed at the beginning of the story when they're saying they had this connection.
Yeah.
And they're only 6 weeks in and they're doing a holiday together mm-hmm. and stuff. I mean, it feels like she was finally ready to put that completely behind her and she had found someone that she liked more.
And she told Daniel that.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not like that.
And then this guy has everything he wants. He has a really cute dog named Chance.
He's still a firefighter.
I bet you he has a truck of his own.
He has his own truck that he doesn't have to borrow from his neighbor.
It seems like he just got a house, according to his parents, or like found a place to live. He didn't seem like he had roommates.
He was about to become a full-time firefighter, and you
yeah.
were medically discharged from being a firefighter or had to medically retire.
He was about to give girlfriend Jennifer everything that Daniel felt like he couldn't.
Yeah.
Mainly because he was already married.
Oh, that.
So just get a divorce.
That pesky, pesky family that you already have.
Just get a divorce.
Yeah.
Do they have a child together?
Yes, they do. So Jennifer's wife had a daughter from a previous relationship,
right.
And then they had a baby together. Yes.
Barf. Barf on Daniel.
Yeah. I'm going to say barf on Jennifer, too, because she did know they were having an affair.
Yes. And girlfriend Jennifer for cheating while they have a baby.
Yeah.
Or cheating anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of this is good. This is bad.
But then there's this huge OMG moment
mm-hmm.
where I was shocked. Wife Jennifer says Daniel was home in bed with me. that night. He has an alibi. Vivi's like, how do you know that? This blows up their entire case. How do you know that? And wife Jennifer says, when your husband cheats on you as much as mine did, you know when he's in your bed. That's just really sad. That's horrible.
That's a horrible sentence. If you're having to say that sentence, things are off the rails.
Yeah. They show her photos of the security footage. She has zero reaction. She says nothing and she leaves the interrogation. So she's given him an alibi. She has not said that that's him in the security footage and she walks away. Now, we've been doing this podcast for almost 7 years and I rarely have no idea what's going to happen next. I did not know what was going to happen next.
Yeah, actually, I didn't either.
I had an idea, but I didn't know.
Because she's being interviewed. So I was like, she's on Dateline.
Mm-hmm.
She came on. So the right thing must happen here.
Right.
But this is crazy.
Yeah.
Because she's also very convincing in the interview.
Yeah.
She is saying with conviction.
Yeah.
That he was there and she knows.
I mean, that sentence about when your husband, heartbreaking and it felt very real.
It's very good.
And you can see Detective Val Vaughn kind of deflate.
Yes.
Because they thought they had this man.
Could you imagine? Yeah. Ooh.
They do have girlfriend Jennifer saying that's him on the tape, but she was not 100%. She was saying, there are some differences. I don't know. Like Katie was saying, the detective is saying, we really need you to say if it's him or not. Is it him? We need to know. And so the defense thinks they pressured her into IDing Daniel. Now, long-haired girlfriend Jennifer's ID would be totally moot and never would have happened if the man in the video was wearing sunglasses at night. And yes, I am talking about Gooder. Gooder sunglasses would make the perfect alibi for anybody because they have so many styles. Let's say you're known for wearing aviators all the time. You make them your signature look. When you go to commit a crime, you wear some circle ones, like the black ones that are called I Have This on Vinyl Too. Which is the most hilarious name.
That is brilliant.
I would say if you are normally wearing aviators, you might want to switch to some sporty wraparounds because the bonus on the wraparounds is they cover more of your face. Your mistress and your wife are not going to recognize you.
Because you're going to be dressed like Guy Fieri?
Yes. Yeah. We have a lot of fans of this podcast that know my style. I might need to switch it up with some cat eye frames.
Let's go.
So I think I'm going to order the Haute Day in Hell. It's spelled like...
That's brilliant.
Haute Couture. They're red. They're so cute.
Who is doing the names?
The names are just like winners. How do they do this? No. They're also all 100% polarized. They don't slip or bounce as you're trying to make your getaway. And the best part is they are stylish sunnies that are starting at only $25 a pair. So you can keep a pair at your wife's house, a pair at your girlfriend's house, and a pair at the house that you frog at. They have a year warranty, 30-day free returns, 100% satisfaction guaranteed. And they're a 100% carbon neutral company. Yay!
Woo!
If you want to support our show and pick up a pair, Gooder is giving a Date with Dateline listeners free shipping on your first order. You can go to gooder.com/datedateline and use code DATEDATELINE to get free shipping. Gooder offers a 30-day money-back guarantee and 100% satisfaction. Find your pair at Gooder, GOODR.com/datedateline and use code DATEDATELINE and get free shipping because nothing is gooder than a inexpensive and stylish pair of sunglasses.
Nothing is gooder. They're more than gooder. They're greater. Thank you so much, Gooder. But you know what? If you have somehow forgotten your Gooder shades, I'm not saying that great eye makeup can replace sun protection for your eyes, but I am saying that good eye makeup, when you squint because you forgot your sunglasses, won't smudge down your face.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm talking about. When you do the squint and then you get the raccoon going on.
The crusty raccoon.
Yeah, the crusty raccoon, especially if you combined it with an ill-conceived concealer and then you get sort of a cakey,
cakey raccoon. God, that's a bad look. I have suffered that fate.
It is not good. But you know, the one mascara that will never do that is that one in the blue tube. You see that turquoise tube?
Famous. BlueTube.
On YouTube, on TikTok. You've probably seen it on all your socials. And that's because Thrive Cosmetics has created a viral tubing mascara that is sweeping the nation. But you know what? All of Thrive Cosmetics beauty products are phenomenal, as well as being 100% vegan and cruelty-free. Their products are made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. They're high-performance and trademarked formulas with uncompromising standards. It's easy to see why their bestsellers have thousands of five-star reviews. And the perfect thing to pair with your Thrive Liquid Lash Extensions mascara is the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It is a highlighter stick made to brighten and open your eyes, giving you kind of an instant eye lift. It is powered by ring light technology patented by Thrive to instantly illuminate and awaken your eyes. It like gives you a diffused glow. There are highlighter sticks out there on the market, I'm not going to name names, where you put them in that inner corner of your eye trying to give that open eye appearance and it just looks like a white shiny blob.
Yeah.
Thrive has perfected this. They use these natural emollients so it doesn't give you that sort of dried out inner of your eye.
Never. I wear that all day and it stays perfect.
It's beautiful. And the best part about it is if you go on thrivecosmetics.com, you're going to see that they have pro tips for this as well. And I'm going to give you one right now. They suggest you can define your lips by applying the Brilliant Eye Brightener. I use the shade Stella for highlighting directly onto your Cupid's bow in the center of your bottom lip over the lip color. That gives a little subtle glow and enhances your lip shape a little bit. Try it.
Oh, that's a good tip.
It gives you like this really subtle appearance of fuller lips without doing too much. It's magic. The Brilliant Eye Brightener is a one and done product.
I would shoot my Cupid's arrow at that Cupid's bow. See what I did? I was trying to use keys.
You would shoot that Cupid's.
Never. It doesn't work. Don't just continue.
Okay, sorry. I really wanted it to work for you. I was trying to make it work. But Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. For every product purchase, Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive, which is amazing. You can also go on thrivecosmetics.com to see all of the causes that they support with their Bigger Than Beauty mission. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/date-dateline. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/date-dateline for 20% off your first order. Open your eyes to the joys of Thrive.
Yay! I love that.
Thank you so much, Thrive.
So we have this issue of girlfriend Jennifer IDing Daniel on the security footage.
Right.
And the defense says that it shouldn't be allowed in because it was unethical the way the detectives pressured her, and the judge agrees. But prosecutors appeal and it goes up to the state Supreme Court. So while they're waiting for that decision, they also have cell phone records that show that Daniel was in the area when John's brakes were cut. This is also not allowed in because the judge says that this is not relevant to the case.
Who's the judge on this?
I'd like to talk to the judge.
Can I have the name and email?
Yeah. Then COVID hits and there's all these court delays because of these decisions. So it pushes the trial for a very long time and Daniel is sitting in jail. But everything changes in 2021 when wife Jen, or who Dennis calls the other Jen, even though I think girlfriend Jen should probably be the other Jen because she was the other woman, right? But we did meet that Jen first.
Oh, boy.
So it is confusing.
It is, yeah.
Wife Jennifer wants to talk to prosecutors. She tells them her alibi for Daniel was not correct, and she was pressured into giving it by Daniel's parents. They constantly were at her saying, remember how he was in bed with you? Tell them how he was in bed with you. She gave in. She says that when detectives showed her that security footage and she had no reaction, she actually froze and inside she was internally freaking out. Now, she has no reaction on the video, like nothing. She should play professional poker. She could make a fortune.
Yeah. And she's a darn good liar.
Yeah.
Because that whole speech that she gave, I'm sorry. One thing I don't believe is that the parents coached her on that. That was all her.
Oh, that speech that she gave. Yeah.
I don't think anybody told her to say the thing about infidelity.
That was her.
That was all her.
When she sees those images, she knows instantly that it's Dan, but she says nothing. And she didn't want her kids to have this cloud over them that their dad was a murderer. But then she has a lot of time to think because of all these delays.
Right.
She starts to really work on herself and her life.
Yeah.
She changes things. She gets a full-time job and is now able to support her family on her own without Daniel.
There we go.
And her job is not even an MLM. Amazing. Because I could see her being in an MLM. Good for her, girl. I'm in a nice way. A lot of stay-at-home moms are
MLM light. Like a light MLM.
Go for MLMs because there are certain things about them that are appealing, even though they are horrible.
Friendship,
flexible hours, get to work from home.
The biggest sell is that you're your own boss, but you absolutely could not be less your own boss.
No, it's the opposite of that. It's a corrupt, horrible, predatory system.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't get that. She gets a job being a travel agent, and she's supporting her family. I'm so proud of her. She decides to cut off Dan, who keeps calling her from jail, saying, no, thank you. And she stops talking to his parents. She finally makes the decision. He was not in bed that night because she had never really seen him. It was more like she felt that he was there that night. She realizes he was not there that night.
Mm-hmm.
She really wants to teach her kids that doing the right thing is never wrong. Go, Jen. So she is going to tell the prosecutors and the detectives. They meet at a restaurant, which I still don't get it. And on the TV shows, too. They always have these, what should be a 2-minute conversation, like an exchange of a hard drive at a restaurant. And then it's like, do you have to sit there and chit chat while you eat your food? I don't understand.
Well, okay, though.
I mean, I do like food.
Correct. If I had the choice of like...
You would love a free meal.
We can go to Cracker Barrel or we can go here and I can get, I don't know.
My social anxiety would rather have me order food at home. But your love for a free meal goes beyond that.
Yeah, I would want to get it to go. I know I would want them to pay for it, but then I would want to go.
You've gone on some terrible dates so that you could have Red Lobster.
Crab. Anytime there's crab legs. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much shrimp or crab legs.
But I'm thinking about the chit chat while we're waiting for the food to come. And then like, are we eating while we're talking about the serious stuff? It just seems very weird to me.
Okay, but who wouldn't want to hang out with Vivi?
Oh, I would love to. I would go meet her at a coffee shop maybe.
Yeah, let's put this in perspective too of who we're talking to.
Go to a park and just walk around or sit on a bench together.
I wouldn't want to do this with every detective on.
No, but Vivi for sure.
100%. I'd be like, yes, I'll meet you at Cracker Barrel. Let's go.
Can we be friends? I want to build a rapport with her outside so we could be friends after this case.
Yeah, maybe we could go to TJ Maxx.
Yeah. Daniel's parents are very unhappy with wife Jennifer, as you can imagine. They say that this is a betrayal and she's being very calculated. I would dare say calculated is what Daniel did to her during the marriage. Making up fake divorce papers.
So much so. But I would also see where parents who are fully blinded to their son being guilty.
Yeah.
Yeah, this would seem super calculated because how Stanley, the dad, explains wife Jennifer's reaction to hearing this, it sort of put everything in perspective for me. Do you remember that?
When he's saying we did not coach her, she said to detectives of her own volition, he was with me in bed.
No, he said that when he first told her what was going on, she goes, well, that can't be right. He was in bed with me. She did this exasperated, I believe
him,
the dad. I believe she did say that.
That's totally possible.
I don't think they coached her. I think that they said, remember, I think they were probably double checking and it seemed like pressure, but they're so high strung about it because she needs to get her story through to them because they see that as the key to his freedom.
Right.
So everything rests on her, right? According to the parents. I think that she's trying to lessen her responsibility in telling that lie a little bit by saying that she was being pressured by them, but it feels like a lot of it was just her.
I mean, she's been covering for Daniel their whole marriage.
Right.
She's been letting a lot of things slide. And when you meet his parents, it makes sense. I think he's had no accountability in his life from his parents and from his wife.
That's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. The parents think that Jennifer is trying to now divorce him and she's asking for way too much in the divorce. Good. Do you remember what your son did to her?
What does he have? He's in prison.
Also, he has nothing. But Bisque better get her money because they do have a child together. And he was horrible to her for...
But what money does he have?
Years. Well, he had a really good job towards the end. The Supreme Court finally decides that the jury can hear girlfriend Jennifer's ID. So the trial finally starts in 2023. And the prosecutor, she looks like a Weasley all grown up with this shock of red hair. Like, I think that would be so good in court because if you're a juror, you are paying attention. You're watching her because your eye naturally goes towards bright colors.
The young lady in Brave with the red hair, that's exactly who I thought of when she came on the screen. I was like, oh my goodness, all grown up.
Yeah.
It's just, it's such a good shade of red. And I just changed my hair from red. So I'm like, oh.
Aw.
That's all right. That's what wigs are for.
Can always go back. Yeah.
That's what wigs are for.
The prosecutors have a bunch of new information for the trial. Wife Jen Green found on her laptop that Dan used searches how to make untraceable calls. Remember those stalking phone calls, those harassment phone calls that John was getting? That's how Daniel did it. And searches all about John Hickey, where he lived, because they didn't know. How did he find out where John lived? He searched it on the internet.
Oh my God.
Yeah, on his wife's computer. Jen explains how part of the reason she knew right away is on the video that it was Dan. A, you could see his face.
This is girlfriend Jen.
No, sorry, wife Jen.
Wife Jen.
Explains how she could see that it was Daniel on the tape. First of all, you can see his face. But secondly, he paces exactly like Daniel. And so prosecutors actually have footage of him in the interrogation room when he's by himself, pacing with his hands in his pockets, shuffling back and forth, exactly like the man on the tape does. You might think this wouldn't be that convincing, but the defense attorney sees this during the trial and says that he wanted to knock over a pitcher of water to distract the jury because he thought it was such convincing evidence. So even the defense attorney thinks that it is Daniel on the security tape.
You cannot fight that.
Yeah.
Showing those side by side is really damning.
Yeah. Wife Jen takes the stand and she looks at her husband, who is glaring at her as if to say, shut up, like he was controlling their whole marriage. And she is her own new woman now. And she snaps, understandably, and says, you can stop looking at me like that, which is very mild of a snap. I probably would have thrown in several F-bombs and maybe thrown a pitcher of water.
No, I think you're, remember, they coach you before you go in. You sit with the prosecutors and they get you ready and you are really discouraged from doing that because it can put the whole trial in jeopardy.
So the jury is cleared from the courtroom. Yeah. And she feels terrible because she didn't want to jeopardize the case. The defense is thrilled because they feel like, well, we just showed, look how mad his ex-wife is. She's totally lying to get him in trouble because look how much she hates him. I don't blame her for snapping.
So who else did this? Who is your other...
Brandon.
Brandon. That's right. I forgot.
Daniel's parents are unimpressed with the defense. They think they could have done a better job. They wanted the jury to see a side-by-side of Daniel's mugshot and the video. They show the side-by-side to Dennis. It looks like twins. It's exactly the same. And not Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's like exactly twins. So they're like, look, it's two totally different people. And Dennis says, but that's just your opinion. I mean, like, how is that opinion any different than Jen's opinion or my opinion? Which is kind of his way of saying, I disagree with your opinion. They actually look totally the same. And the parents say, well, look at that nose. That is not the same nose. So here's the thing. I need to explain pixelation to these people. When you take a video, no matter how good quality it is, it's still just a security footage. And you zoom in a ton, there is pixelation, which makes it look like there is a chunk missing out of this person's nose. But this person does not actually have a giant piece carved out of his nose like he is on Mount Rushmore. It's just a pixelation. But they are determined that this man has broken his nose several times. They have gone to ENT school. They have become ear, nose, and throat doctors just to prove that they're is a double broken nose. And Dennis says, you know, some people are going to say maybe you are living in a bubble. And they say, what's the bubble? What would Daniel's motive be for this? it's been stated over and over again.
Oh.
It hurts. There's a reason family in denial is on our bingo cards.
This hurts.
No one knows what they're going to do in that situation. You want to defend your child. I get it, but it's hard to watch.
When you see it like this, where they're showing the pictures side by side, and it's just so clearly the same person.
It's him. And are these facts don't matter kind of people?
It's him.
Like, could I show them the science? And they'll be like, no, the earth is flat. Because this is actual photo evidence. And they're like, no, that's not our son.
No. I think it's a really interesting study in the power of what your brain will do to you.
For sure. Your brain wants to protect you. And self-preservation.
This whole episode is.
Yeah. Self-preservation. Yeah. You want to protect your spouse. You don't want to think your spouse is cheating. You want to think your boyfriend is divorced.
You want to protect your child from knowing that your dad is a murderer. Yeah. It's all of these things.
Self-preservation really is a intense, hell of a drug. Yeah. Anyway, the jury is not in denial, and they find him guilty and he gets life.
In 3 hours, right? 3 hours.
Yeah. They got what they needed. So Vivi retires, and this was her final case. She says she sobbed when they got the verdict. She is for sure the MVP. Jennifer McKay, girlfriend, got married and had 2 kids. Good for her. And wife Jennifer is now ex-wife Jennifer, and she has moved on. She is proud of herself. She took her power back. We are equally proud of her.
Go get them.
Good job. John's mom and uncle show off a firefighter helmet. And they're showing how brave John was and how much he wanted to help people. And it's very, very sweet. Now, unfortunately,
I can't do the precious moment at the end with the Uncle John holding the helmet, trying not to cry. We can't. We start with the Piper and we end with Uncle John and heart implosion. We can't do this.
Now, unfortunately, they are leaning very heavily on the firefighter thing and how amazing it is. And that it is such a brave and noble profession, 100%.
What are you getting ready to say right now?
Daniel was also a firefighter, and that taints it a little bit.
I don't think it taints it. I think what they're trying to say is how much worse he is, because it's the brotherhood. They talk about it the entire episode of.
You don't go against the brotherhood, and he did the worst thing possible.
Well, and it's one of those professions where you have to lean on your coworkers.
Full on trust.
Somebody being stupid can kill people.
Yeah, your life is in their hands.
Right. This is bad. And I think it's probably rare.
I'm sure it's rare.
Not the cheating, but the murder.
We've not had a lot of firefighter murders, for sure. I mean, we've seen firefighters be murdered, but it's usually by their spouse who is not a firefighter. Yeah. I have not seen another Dateline where a firefighter has murdered one of their own. Shocking. This episode is dedicated to somebody else who's very brave because they are a listener of ours and a supercaster.
Supercat.
Kelly J, who is a twin.
Twins. She's a twin.
Who's in her 40s. And I think she's okay with us saying that because women of a certain age, loud and proud, never married because she doesn't believe in marriage and no kids because why would anyone want a kid? I love you, Kelly. She's gone through some hard stuff in her life that I'm not going to reveal her personal information, but she says laughter is always the best medicine, especially laughing at yourself. Maybe that's one of the reasons she likes the podcast because we laugh at ourselves a lot. We adore you, Kelly.
Kelly, thank you for listening.
Here's some bagpipers just for you.
And thank you for supporting us. No pipers. No Piper.
What's a good, happy version of pipers? Like a flute?
Accordion.
Oh, an accordion.
Yeah. What's the thing that he plays in Only Murders in the Building? Starts with a C. I don't remember it. How about a harmonica?
Well, Steve Martin plays the fiddle, right?
Fiddle's good. Harmonica's good.
Yeah.
I like it all. And I like Kelly. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kelly. Twins.
I love twins.
B-roll bonanza.
Okay. Weirdest B-roll in the history of ever. We've already sort of discussed it, but boy, was it weird. Right?
First of all, you have Jen walking through her house, opening doors. And then at one point, she goes into a bedroom and closes the door on the camera crew.
Wife Jen, we get
her whole house.
I think we get the floor plan.
It's like they're selling the house, and this is the open house. This is the virtual tour on realtor.com.
And when you go on Zillow and you get the 360 and you get very excited because you get to press the button,
You see Jen and her teenage daughter.
That's bizarre.
And at one point, there's this that weird fish eye, and she's sitting at the table, and the daughter walks in and gets a drink from the fridge. And then walks away. Yeah. But so when Jen walks to the bedroom, closes the door on the camera crew, the camera zooms out. And then we get this trick where it looks like we're in the same house, but we're in a different house. And we see Daniel's dad sitting in a dark room.
Yes, I saw that.
It's like a stage play where you're going from one scene to another, like you're in the bedroom and then you're at someone's work. But it's all on the same stage and the spotlight just goes up on the other part of the stage.
Who's the director on this?
I don't know. And then you have Jen sitting in the shadowy room. You have Daniel's mom reading a Bible. You have the dad sitting in a shadowy room.
You're holding nothing, just on the edge of a bed with the mom sort of hazy. He's in sharper focus in the front and she's in haze in the background.
So strange.
And again, a lot of it's shot from high.
Mm-hmm.
High in a corner.
Yeah.
Like a nanny cam. Almost.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's very...
It's like you're peering through someone's peephole.
Into their soul.
And that's the footage. And then the detectives are detectiving in this small theater room. Like maybe police do presentations in there. Or they like watch Oppenheimer in 20-minute segments in between cases.
No, it's definitely like a present. It's like where they come in to talk about the case of the day. You've seen that.
And then they sit in this theater-style seats. In rows. Yeah. And Dennis sits in there with them. And then you see the firefighters in their truck driving around.
We also get to see Vivi driving. We get to see both detectives driving.
Mm-hmm.
We also get to see Detective O'Connor has a Smokey the Bear notepad, which I was really excited about.
I love
prominently that. Featured. It was good.
We see John's funeral and the bagpipers, and we see a lot of people in uniform and flags. And some of the people in uniform are holding like ceremonial axes.
Yeah.
Which I'm guessing is a thing of a firefighter funeral.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. And then wife Jen is sitting at the table with her daughter and she's eating a salad and her daughter is eating mozzarella sticks.
I did not notice that.
And I thought those look good. Or maybe fish sticks. I couldn't quite tell.
Mozzarella sticks.
Something breaded and long.
Mozzarella sticks or zucchini sticks. Zucchini?
Could have been zucchini sticks.
Could have been that.
Seemed a little thick to be zucchini sticks.
When Jen is sitting on the bed alone with her hands down, and I think that's when it moves into the shot of the family, wife Jennifer, that is when she is having the crisis of conscience.
Yes.
It is at that moment that that's happened. This is very specialized B-roll.
It's the most different Dateline we have had almost ever. I mean, occasionally they will try new things, like when a different producer comes on or they're doing like a different, like The Widower was totally different.
Yeah, that was like its own series.
But this was so strange.
We also get that shaky cam again, that POV cam moving through the house again. We got that as well. And normally we'd get one or the other in a few shots, but this was almost the entire time. I would say.
Crazy.
It was kind of wild. I like it.
Do you have any fashion, please?
Oh, by the way, we also do get the defense attorney on the phone having a very important conversation. And I really wanted to know if it was a fake conversation.
I bet it was.
The first defense attorney. He's going, no, I don't think so. No, I thought it. He's talking very loudly through his B-roll.
He's acting. Peas and carrots. Peas and carrots. Yeah. I want to know what he was saying.
You tell them I want the judge in chamber.
Okay. Someone we know. From Dateline, who was on a Dateline, and I can't say who, but they became friends of ours after they were on a Dateline.
I gave it away.
But that's all I'm going to say. And they were recently filming something for a show and texting me at the same time as they were doing their B-roll because they said they were on their phone and they felt so awkward and they were just supposed to like pretend to do something.
You were the text?
I was the text.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So when that comes out, I'll be sure to give myself highlight a little shout out. Yeah.
That needs to be a TikTok maybe. That would be a good TikTok maybe.
Oh, okay. Like where I'm watching it and then I show myself and then I'm like, look at she's texting me.
Or you could just show that clip of her doing it and write over it.
Yeah.
Whatever easiest.
Someone teach me how to do the TikTok.
Does anyone out there want to do our TikToks?
Yeah, please.
I have ideas. I just don't.
We need a social media person. We will pay you. Thank
you. Yeah, we are actually looking for a social media person. Yeah. So heads up on that. Okay.
Send us your reel or whatever. I don't know how it works.
Fashion police.
I thought the defense attorney with the pinstripe suit and the yellow tie and the pocket square was very stylish. And then another point, he has the tie. What do you call it where you poof out the tie at the top? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like to make the tie, the part that's not in the vest is poofed out and it's very stylish.
It's not an ascot.
No, it was a tie. Well, it could have been an ascot.
It's probably the specific kind of knot that they're tying. You know, there's like the Windsor knot and all these different tie knots. So
it could have been an ascot, I guess.
It might have been. I would have noticed an ascot.
But it didn't hang out. It was tucked in. It was just poofed at the top. I liked
ascots,
it.
Ascots, I feel, are only appropriate in like South Carolina.
He was stylish.
Am I wrong?
Yeah.
New Orleans.
I mean, maybe in Baltimore, too. By the way, props to us for not trying to do any Baltimore accents. You're welcome. We saved ourselves from some bad Apple Podcast reviews on that one.
Oh, boy. I also got very excited because he was in a row house, and I really love row houses.
Yeah, they are
so
cool.
I really would like to see the floor plan there, too.
The path between the houses is so narrow, and they take Dennis through them, and everyone's almost like walking sideways to get through the little...
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah. Yeah, I really liked the row house we were in Pennsylvania. And they're only like in certain places in the world. Detective Vivi the Hat.
Yeah.
She's in like a little, it's not a cabbie hat, but.
It's kind of a cabbie hat, yeah.
Like a jaunty hat.
Yeah, it's jaunty. She's super cool.
It's her thing.
I love her.
She could probably do hats and sunglasses.
Yeah, we love you, Vivi. I know that's not your name, it's Val, but.
And then the firefighter facial hair is just.
Epic.
10 out of 10.
Although someone did say, I didn't know they were allowed to have facial hair like that because of the fires or the mask that they wear. That uncle, is he still a firefighter and he has that beard that hangs out? I wonder how that works with, because I would assume because of the gases and the smoke, the mask has to be very sealed to their face, you know? Someone mentioned it on Twitter. Anyways.
That I'm not sure. Maybe it's different for different stations.
Yeah, or maybe he's retired. I don't know.
Or he does a different function now in the firehouse. Yeah. I'm sure that not everyone goes out. Yeah. So, okay, titles.
Out of the frying pan into the fire. That was just not, I didn't get anywhere with that.
I'm glad you did something with fire because I forgot about fire.
I tried. And then I said, this Frogger's on fire. This Frogger's on fire.
Oh boy. This Frogger was fired.
Yes. Good call. Pants on fire. Someone did that on Twitter. I'll get to it. My only title. You're not going to like it. A chance for chance.
Okay. I might have you beat. Because I have a chance for all of girlfriend Jennifer's dogs.
Oh.
Because he's in prison now, so he can't kill any more dogs.
Yeah. So they actually get a chance.
Yeah, they get a chance. They get
a chance. Yeah, but Chance the dog has no chance for Chance.
I like it. I like it. I got there too. So don't worry about that.
Do you have anything else?
All of mine have to do with Jen. So generation, why Daniel?
Generational trauma.
There we go. And then we have...
Generation Y, Daniel.
And then I had emergency responders. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
And then my best one, though, because I had a whole bunch that couldn't go anywhere, is a generous dose of justice.
Good job. Generation Y, Daniel.
Sorry, that one I just wrote immediately. I was like, oh, generation
Y. That's very funny.
They don't listen, but I guess.
Oh, no, they don't listen. But I think they just followed us on Instagram. Hi, guys.
Oh, well, hi. You're in my title this week for no reason other than it popped into my brain. All right. Tweets.
Okay. Weasel Creature says, okay, Dateline, what do you think of these inside drone wide angle camera shots? Personally, stop.
Oh, no.
I'm going to say we're just not used to them and let's give them one more chance. Two more chances.
Maybe we just taper. Like it was all at once.
Yeah, they went all in and maybe they could have just snuck in a couple and then slowly increased our dosage and tolerance to them.
It was very dramatic.
It was very cinematic. It almost would have been better if it was one of the episodes about like actors who are killing or like that stuntman episode or Final Curtain with the actress and the Dan Wozniak, you know, like that kind of could have been cool because it was about acting.
Or about somebody surveilling somebody.
Yeah.
Like watching them at home through their computer mm-hmm. or something. We don't get a lot of those. But wait a minute. Sorry. Why was this called Killer on Camera 4?
I guess that was Camera 4.
Or we're missing something.
Maybe there were other cameras at that person's house. No, they never really filled it in. It should have been called Death of a Firefighter.
Is this clever? Is this something that we're not... Is Camera 4 a term that we don't...
Well, yeah. If you're filming on a soundstage and you would have the cameras that are numbered and like on a sitcom, you have a certain number of cameras and then there's one camera shows and multi-camera shows.
Let us know if we're missing a reference here.
They're just calling that this was Camera 4 and these people had four cameras.
Did they? Because they don't state that in the episode. They're not like...
No, they definitely don't. It might have been cut
out.
We
went through Camera 1 and there was nothing. Right. Camera 2... That's the setup.
Yeah, exactly. And the backdoor camera.
Dennis, can you give me a call or check your email? Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Mary Grace says, another one where we will have a sad Kimberly. And another one where people think Katie doesn't care about dead dogs.
Why did people think I didn't care?
Because they always go, Kimberly's not going to like this. And then when something happens to a cat, they go, Katie's not going to like this. And it's like, but I would still be sad if there was a cat that was hurt. And Katie hates it when there's a dog that
I really
hurt.
Like dogs. I just it don't have one right now because I have too many cats that were born in front of my apartment.
Too many cats. She is empathic to animals as much as I am.
Wait a minute. Also, the issue we had last time is that the dog was deaf.
Well, that was Katie's issue.
That was the world's issue. Everyone was upset in my house.
Yeah. Okay. This picture, I'm not going to show you. You're going to have to wait. But Dateline producer says Dennis and our associate producer Monet tried on some fire gear. It was a hot September day and that gear is heavy. And there's a photo of Dennis in fireman's gear with the fireman. And he's grinning. He's so excited. It's so cute. I think it'll be my photo for social media.
Yes, it should be.
Even though it's not a joke or a meme or anything.
It's delightful. Make everyone's day and put Fireman Dennis.
So pure. This is the definition of pure. Sergeant, Sarge for short, says all Daniel Green had to do, buy a razor and shaving cream. Seriously.
My God. He did the minimal amount of work on
this. Put on a fake mustache or something. Put on a fake eyebrows. Do something, dude.
One thing to cover up something on your face. And don't pace in the alley. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Change up your body language. Give yourself a fake limp or something. Southern Beach Girl says Daniel has a really dirty screen on his laptop. And I was so personally attacked right now because my screen is always so dirty. And I don't know why, because it's not a touch
screen.
Yeah, this
is mine.
But it's always greasy.
It's worse that it's Daniel's, though.
Whenever I do a video, like a TikTok, and I have to film my screen, I have to wipe it clean first.
I don't like that Daniel's is dirty. No.
His is dirty. Melissa says, I'd rather see a murderer go free than someone wrongfully convicted, except Daniel.
Yeah,
lock him
seriously.
Up for sucking at life. Aaron Cooper says, it blows my mind how these people have turned this city upside down. Must have gotten jewels in all their private areas. They all just have magical, who knows. How are they doing
this? How are they turning the city upside down?
Just causing chaos and murder over their lady parts and man parts.
I don't know what's going on here.
Obsessa Annie says, I thought Remy from Dateline a few weeks ago was horrible. I have a feeling that Daniel might win the My Head Blew Up prize.
Yeah, Daniel's really, really...
We haven't done the new updated Remy episode, but we will. And then maybe we will have flames on our faces too.
When we finally see that picture, the mugshot picture...
Yeah.
Was that a wake-up call too? Did wife Jennifer...
For wife Jen.
Did she maybe go visit him and was like, what's going on with me?
This is what's time to self-evaluate, Jennifer.
And she did.
And she did.
Yeah.
She did. It's so rare we see people like fully change their lives, and she did. I'm
it's
so
great.
Impressed. Duchess Riley, is Daniel Green not good looking or incredibly unphotogenic? And Elizabeth says, yes.
Exactly what I was going to say. Yes. Correct.
Flo, Kiss My Grits, says, I bet Daniel planted that passport at the crime scene.
Okay, yeah. Is that the theory?
So there we go. That's a theory. That's something, because Dateline does not, they never explain that. No one knows if John knew poor Coma Brandon. Do they know if Daniel knew Coma Brandon somehow?
There also might just be a weird story to this, where it's like, I found it at the thing.
Yeah, and he's trying to return it to the rightful owner, but he hadn't gotten it to. And he hadn't mentioned it to anybody because it's not that weird. Like, he didn't go out of his way to tell his parents, I found this person's passport, you know? It maybe just happened or something.
Who knows what's going on?
Who knows? But at least we have a theory now. Seth says, not going to lie, Daniel was smart picking a mistress with his wife's name.
Oh, God. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, okay.
You can't call the wrong name out in bed.
Yeah, no, it's not.
There's lots of ways that
unfortunately,
could be helpful.
That's correct.
Mike says Daniel was a piece of work. The amount of lies he had to keep straight only rivaled George Costanza. It's not a lie if you believe it.
George.
Southern Beach Girl says Daniel is lucky those two gents only talk for 15 minutes. Clearly, they didn't have enough time to plan his murder.
I feel like something happened and one of them had to pick up a kid. Mom Jen, wife Jen, was like, okay, I have to pick her up right now. She's done with swimming. I have to go. We'll talk about this later. And then they never reconnected because Daniel left the house.
Yeah, because this could have been a First Wives Club situation.
Oh, yes. Just Daniel should have been out of both of their lives. And this is the time when you lean on your friends when something like this happens. And I know that like financial instability and it's really scary and you have a baby and all of this stuff, but you got to lean on those around you.
Also, the religious angle, I think she said she came from a very religious family and so did he. So she was probably getting a lot of pressure to stay with him, to make it work no matter what.
Make the marriage work. Yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah.
Dateline producer says Pilesville, Maryland, where Jen and Daniel Green and Jennifer McKay lived, is a rural town with less than 1,000 residents. There we go. Him?
That's interesting.
That's why.
Okay.
That's our answer.
Okay.
Leah says he went from one Jen to two Jens to no Jens.
Do I have a Jen for that?
GB says alternative title, liar, liar, pants on. Okay, well, maybe they aren't on fire, but they're definitely on camera four. I was hoping they would have figured out a camera four meant.
No, darn it.
Dateline producer says, remember that time when Jen drove Dan to Tampa during their Disney World vacation with the kids? Jennifer McKay told her she met Dan in Tampa and they vacationed together. So he had his wife leave the vacation to drive him to Tampa so he could continue his vacation with his mistress.
Would you say he had a nefarious agenda?
I thought you were going to do a Disney pun.
No.
It's not the happiest place on earth.
Do you think that Daniel is a generous lover? Okay, that's it. I'm done.
If it walks like a Donald Duck and it quacks like a Donald Duck, then it's a duck. Thank you, everybody. Follow us on social media. Check out our Patreon and Supercast, where we do a lot of fun stuff and a lot of bonus content. And join our community over there. It's a great way to support our podcast.
Yeah, definitely check it out. We're also, it's the end of Traitors, so you need to sign up to Patreon or Supercast to hear all the Traitors nonsense if you were watching Traitors on Peacock.
Yes, which everyone was. Somebody tweeted, Traitors is our State of the Union, because it was on the same time as State of the Union.
Yeah. Was it? Oh, yeah. Boy. Okay, I never know when anything's on live. That's funny. I cannot wait to watch the finale.
It's jaw on the floor.
Oh, boy. And we might get a third Dennis next week.
Yeah.
Okay, March. Here we go.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. And be your own. Oh, well, actually, let's let Mank say it.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody. And ladies, be your own Prince Charming.
And he gave them to her. He probably made them at Kinko's, because I think Kinko's was still around back then. And I think now it's owned by FedEx.
No, this is 2017. This is not that long ago.
When did Kinko's absorb? When did FedEx absorb Kinko's? No one cares.
A decade.
So
a decade, at least.
If this was 2015.
17.
Okay. No, no one cares.
Anyways, no one does care, but it's important for us to know it for our own selves. Sometimes that's important. It's okay.
I'm going to get messages. Don't even tell me. I do not care when Kinko's was absorbed by FedEx. So he made fake divorce papers.
Maybe at Kinko's, maybe at FedEx.
Maybe at a Kinko's FedEx. Sometimes it was called FedEx Kinko's.
He may have also had a printer at home and just printed them off the internet.
He may have had a Cricut.
He didn't have Kimberly. You can just print them off the internet.
But he, I feel like, did cut and paste, like made some sort of seal and the logo, the state logo, or, you know, all that. Like, I feel like he could have gotten really into it.